Let's talk movies. And I'm joined by former RNZ producer and current movie critic, Ali Ventura. Hello.
Hello, Jesse. How you doing?
Good. Interested to hear what you think of Savage. We did the preview the other night of it and it looked pretty wild.
Yeah, I will just say before we get into this as well, I've just come back from the dentist, which is ridiculous. Huh. But if you can't understand me, please tell me, because one side of my face is numb.
So, oh, that's so good.
I'm currently trying to enunciate very clearly.
It sounds pretty good.
Let me know.
Sounds pretty good. But will you take a picture of your face as well, just in case anything's going wrong with that at the moment? I'd like to enjoy it later.
My face is fine.
Are you sure about that?
I resent that you asked that.
Okay.
So anyway, Savage, yes, I've heard so much about this. And I don't know about you, but have you seen the incredible picture, which is like the main picture for the movie? Which
guy's got this, a tattoo that says Pawniki on his face, eh?
Yeah, and it's so just intense and scary, and that is honestly, like, that is what the movie is about. It is a bleak, bleak movie. I mean, it's looking into gangs in New Zealand and the abuse that some boys suffered at boys' homes in the 60s and that sort of thing. So this is not one that is going to, it's not a light romp, let's say.
Yeah.
But in saying, it's really, it's like an unflinching portrayal of gang life in New Zealand and that traumatic effect of abuse. But in saying that, it's so real and it's so riveting the whole way through. So we have this main character, his name's Danny, and we follow him throughout different stages of his life until he becomes known as Damage. So he's the enforcer or the sergeant of the Savages gang. So we see him as an adult, really terrifying, and he is that guy in the picture. He's played by Jake Ryan, and he is just like physically a hulking, scary presence of a man. But we also see him when he's a really young child. He has an abusive father. He's sent to a boys' home, and then more bad stuff happens there. And then we see him as a young man, sort of early 20s, when he's kind of deciding what his path is going to be in life and you know, that he eventually chooses that he's going to be in this gang. You know, and the what is scary about it, I guess, as well, what is so the rawness, the like the visceral kind of reaction that you have when you're watching this of sadness, of horror, of being scared, all of that is really because it's, you know, based on true events. It's not a necessarily quote-unquote true story, but it is based on things that have happened, that we know, you know, gang life is real. We know that people who are abused in these kind of homes back in the day, they often have a really rough time afterwards. And so that's what makes it really, really hard and but really incredible to watch. So Danny, when he, you know, when we sort of flash back to when he's a child, he basically feels like his family won't want him. You know, he doesn't like his dad anyway because he's abusive, but he doesn't feel like his family will want him after he's been in this home. And he's been, we don't really, it's alluded to that there is some sexual abuse there. And so he kind of goes, he says, well, my family won't want me. And I've found this, I've found a family in this boy, Moses, that he meets at the boys' home. And so Moses, we also see him through his life as well as he relates to Danny. And Moses is this like incredible, charismatic kind of leader, even as a kid. You know, he's just this like fun. He's eventually played, the adult Moses is played by John Toohey, who is, often plays comedy stuff, right? But so he has that incredible, charming kind of persona. But the beautiful thing that John Toohey has done in this is he's really been able to capture the hardness, the like the shell underneath, which is just cold and has, you know, after all these years of abuse and being a gangster, becomes this very hard kind of man, even if he's outwardly charming. And Moses is the one who eventually creates the Savages gang. And so we follow both of them through all this time. We sort of mid-60s is where it starts. Then we see them in the 70s. Then eventually the present day is like the late 90s. And yeah, it's a lot of it is about loyalty and it's about whether your, you know, blood is thicker than water, or is it the people you meet that really become your family? The best thing about it is the casting is incredible. Jake Ryan as adult Danny, as I said, he's absolutely chilling. He has this intensity. It's almost solely portrayed through his eyes, which is the only thing you can really see because he has that big pointy tattoo, and he also has a really big beard, and he also has Savages tattooed on his forehead. So all you kind of look at is his eyes. And also his, like I said before, his walk, the physicality of it. Just, I don't know if you've ever seen a gang member in real life or a really, I guess we would say tough, but maybe that's the wrong word. Maybe that's the sort of toxic masculinity.
Someone you just see walking down the street and you think, whoa, I'll steer clear of that one.
Oh, yeah. 100%. That's exactly his what he shows. You know, he sort of brings himself up to his full height and breadth and has his arms out, and you're cowering and you're in the movie seat, you know? And so that is incredible. And the casting is done so well in that younger Danny also has these really intense brown eyes, even as a kid and as a sort of young adult. All the actors have those really deep brown eyes, which is great. And all the Moseses, all the characters that play Moses throughout it, as I said, John Tui is as an adult, so we see him most, but all of them have that beautiful mix of bravado and cheekiness and that little bit of vulnerability in there. So it's just, I really enjoyed who they chose for these. And there's not, you know, in my mind, huge names. They are Kiwis that you may have seen before, like I say, people like John Tui and that, but they're not, you know, massively big New Zealand names, but they've all done really, really incredible work in this. There's a young prospect in the gang, and he's played by Poroaki Merritt McDonald, and he's got this really great awkward teenager thing down, especially for young boys when they're trying so hard to be tough and to, you know, pretend that they know about this gang, but really he is just a young kid and he's scared out of his mind that he's going to make the wrong move. So I really enjoyed that. And there are women in this too. There are some really great, you know, they are side characters really, because the main story is about the men and the boys and them growing up and men in New Zealand. But what I really liked about it is that I often find when you have like a bad man in a story, he'll meet a woman and suddenly he rethinks his whole life.
Right.
You know, and it's always, it's a constant trope of, oh, it wasn't until I fell in love did I realize that I was being, you know, I was beating people up and hurting people. And it's like, well, hello, you're smarter than that. Yeah. So they didn't have that in this. They kind of, the story moves along because eventually Danny or Damage realizes that.
Are you spoiling here?
I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm just going to say that he sort of realizes that he's not sure if gang life, even though he's devoted his whole life to being a savage, if it's actually worth it and that's what he wants.
Great Aussie actor, eh? Play Jake Ryan.
Yeah, and so I don't think I've seen that much of his work, but yeah, I was really impressed with him in this.
Yeah, and I mean, inevitable comparisons to Once Were Warriors, I suppose. I interviewed the director the other night and he wasn't that keen on that comparison, but did it make you think of Once Were Warriors?
I mean, it's hard not to, because there are, of course, similarities, and I think the major similarity is the not glamorising what it's like to be in a gang or to be in abusive relationships or anything like that. Yeah. And that is, you know, that's what made Once Were Warriors and this movie so, you know, moving in a way, because it's not trying to portray this as like a great thing in life, even though many people in New Zealand decide that or they have their choices made for them, that this is the life that they're going to lead, but they're not trying to glamorize it. But I will say, it's not quite the same as Once Were Warriors. It's not rooted in the idea of, I guess, the effects of colonization, of, you know, the Māori culture having it being such a part of the way once were warriors is, you know, it's such a, it makes a comment about the way Māori have been treated in New Zealand. Whereas obviously this is less about that. This is more about how society as a whole treats people who are poor and people who have been through abusive situations. So there are differences, but I think it will be hard to shake that comparison for them.
Great. Well, people can head along to that movie now. It's on in the big screen. It's called Savage, and it's a New Zealand film about gang life in New Zealand. What about Return to Gandhi Road? You don't often review documentaries for us.
No, I don't. And the thing is that I'm going to be honest, I'm not a massive documentary person. I don't know if it's because I work in my day-to-day job is in news, and I often find like, oh, that just feels like work, you know, real life stories. I can't be bothered. Often, though, when I do watch them, I really enjoy them. And the same has to be said for Return to Gandhi Road. It was a really beautiful film, really lovely. And, you know, part of me was a little bit worried when I started watching it that this was going to be like white people seek enlightenment in poor countries, which, again, is another trope that often happens in documentaries. But actually, it's a really interesting story about this this one teacher, and they call him Rinpoche, and he is Kanjor Rinpoche. And Rinpoche is basically an honorific for teacher. And he was in India in Darjeeling, and he was sort of the first Buddhist teacher to let in Westerners to learn about Tibetan culture and Buddhism. And it's actually about his story, which is fascinating. I mean, he came over from Tibet effectively when the Chinese government was cracking down and trying to basically burn all these texts. And he saved these texts and brought them over to India. And they eventually went over to Paris, and then they were distributed around the world. And so his story is incredible, but we're seeing it from the people that he taught. So the legacy that he left, and one of them is a Kiwi, and his name is Kim Hegan, and he decides to go back to India because he was there when he was sort of a young adult. He went there, he learnt under Rinpoche, and he basically decided to go back as an adult with his daughter, and his daughter is the director of the documentary film. So she filmed him going back there, and it just happened to be that one of the places where he taught, Rinpoche, he taught on a place called Gandhi Road. So that's where the title comes from. And so it's just a really lovely narrative. So we're telling this incredible story, but just through the eyes of the people who met him and learned under him, and it basically experienced what he was like as a person rather than, you know, this incredible person in Tibetan history. It's not over the top. People are like quite honest, and they're not sort of, it's not too heavy on the religion, even though it's all about it, if you know what I mean. It's not too cult-like or too, they don't sort of evangelize about him. They more just talk about what it was like to study under him and what they learned and what India was like at that time. So I thought it was really inspiring, and definitely, even if you're kind of adverse to documentaries, it's well worth it. And, you know, like a Kiwi is part of it, a Kiwi directed it, so that's kind of incredible.
Is it got wide release?
Yes, it is. I think it's in cinemas now. I think it may be in some of the more, shall we say, artsy cinemas. I don't know if it's at Event, but I do know that it's at Rialto and places like that.
Great.
I just really enjoyable, really lovely.
Ali Ventura, thank you so much. Hey, you sounded completely normal. I'm sorry to say, I would have really enjoyed it if we could have heard that numb face of yours, but perhaps another time. Thanks.
I'm too much of a professional, Jesse.
Guess so. Thank you. Catch you next time. That's Ali Ventura talking movies, and that documentary she was talking about just then was called Return to Gandhi Road, and before that was Savage.